absolutely lost your mind. But you just can't help it, can you? Because Jesus is so real. That's why you got to transfer from religion to relationship. Get hooked up with Jesus. I want to remind everyone, we had a lot of desserts left over from yesterday. So we didn't freeze them. We put them out at the cafe, and it's first come, first serve. So afterwards, just say, hey, I'd like one of those desserts, please, and they're free of charge. And we can enjoy a little fellowship afterwards. That'll be nice, wouldn't it? Now, don't hurt each other getting out there, okay? You know, people sometimes get aggressive when it comes to food. Great to see you, Terry. We love you and your family. Just really a longtime friend, and it's great to have you here. Your presence is wonderful, and your family as well. Hey, this morning, I am thankful today because of relationships longstanding, and God put in my spirit that I was to invite Brother Paul Hubbard to minister the Word of God this morning, and I really felt God speak to me about that. And Paul has been used of God in so many ways, a founder of a powerful church there in Bradford. I've been there a couple of times and just really a leader among men and a leader among pastors. He also is an apostle to the nations. God's used him to speak to kings and presidents and government officials, the words of the Lord, and I mean, just powerful, powerful things. But the beauty about this gentleman is he's so humble, and he loves God. He's an author. He has some tremendous writings available. And what I just found out, he's got a brand new book being released. Destiny is publishing it. It's not in the bookstores yet. As a matter of fact, no one else even has a copy of it. But he happened to get just a few for today. Weren't supposed to be here till what, next week, I think you said? And they came Friday or Saturday. I said, bring those books. So we'll have a limited amount at the book table following the meeting. We hope that you'll take advantage of it. But Church on the North Coast, it's my tradition. And if you're not real used to that, I love to honor guests with the honor that is due. So please stand to your feet. Let's welcome together Pastor Paul Hubbard to Church on the North Coast. Pastor.
Seems to be on. There we go. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. This is just great, isn't it? The last time that I came here, it was just white. It was being painted white. And look at it now. Wonderful. But what's best is you. Huh? You're the treasure in this place. Huh? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Well, I sensed as soon as I came in the building, I sensed the Lord gave me a picture, and it was actually of the bridge. You know the bridge that you've got? I don't know where it is here. Is it out there? Right out there, okay. With the pillars. Now, that's a huge bridge. And the Lord said to me, he said that his spirit is going to move through you, out of this place, and it's actually going to touch. And I felt like it was like waves of Holy Ghost that moved out of this house and were touching, first of all, that bridge. And I heard the Lord say that this is the valley of decision, and that he would bring many people into this house to make a choice and a decision. And I felt he said to me that people who have wanted to commit suicide, people who have thrown themselves off bridges, would come into this house and be saved instantly. But then I felt him say to me that this house would be like that bridge. And I noticed that there's many pillars. There's many pillars on that bridge. And I felt like the Lord said, this house is going to be a pillar of truth. Truth is going to come forth from this place. And it's going to be taken out into this whole region. But there's going to be truth coming forth like pillars. And on that truth will flow the Holy Ghost. He will flow like liquid. And you know, like there's just lots of roads around here, highways. And I just felt him say, it's going to be like, I'm going to take the word and my spirit's going to move on those highways in this region all over. And it was really strong impression that I had as I walked in. So I just want to pray just for a moment. Can we pray? And I believe that the Lord's already touching people in this house right now. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you know what you are doing, Father. And that you have put purpose long ago for this, Father. This house here. For these people that will come and make this their home and their family. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will rise up, Lord, within this people and begin to flow out like waves, Lord, waves. Hitting every bridge, Lord, arresting people, Father, on every bridge, Lord. Wherever they're committing suicide, Father, wherever these things are taking place, Father, Lord, that you would bring them into this house and cause them to make a decision, Lord, in this valley, in Valley View, Lord, cause them to make a decision for you, Lord. And Lord, that your truth would go out from this house, Lord. That truth would be raised up, Lord, again, Father. Your truth, Lord, established like pillars of the throne, Father, established, Lord, in this region. And Father, that your spirit would be like a river, Father, flowing out of this house to other houses, Lord, to other places, Lord, in this region and further afield, Lord. You have said, Lord, that this place, Lord, Ohio, will be as a jewel in the crown of North America. And Father, that revival and restoration will flow, Father, from this place. So Father, I bless you and I thank you. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you will do, all that you will say, all that you will move this morning, Father, in this house, Lord. I give you all the glory, all the honor, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to say, I'm feeling good. Praise the Lord. Do you all understand my language? No one needs interpretation. This is the genuine, authentic English language. Isn't it beautiful? Woo! Don't you like it? You know, I go into the stores and sometimes the assistants say, oh, that's wonderful. Where's that language coming from? And I say it comes from England, Bradford. And they're just melting behind the counter. This is what you all really want. Now, I come from a place called Bradford, West Yorkshire. If you put your finger on the map of England and Wales, Scotland, just right in the middle there, that's where I live, Bradford. It's a great place. Praise the Lord. I have a wife. She's called Shasti. We've been married 26 years on Thursday. And we have 3 children. The eldest's a pilot. He's 21. He's the youngest pilot in Scandinavia to fly a commercial airline, which is wonderful. It was a dream that God gave while I was here in America many, many years ago. My son came with me to Pittsburgh, Joseph Gallant's place, and we were there worshiping the Lord, and he gave us a vision. And it was to my son that he gave the vision, and he saw himself in a plane, sat at the front there, and the Bible was right on the front. And he said to me later, he was 8 years old at the time, and he said, Dad, Jesus gave me a vision. He said, don't tell anyone till later. So we didn't do. 14 years old, he was flying in a plane. And at 19 years old, he was flying a Boeing 737, which was pretty amazing, huh? That's amazing. I'm proud of that. That's a dream. It's a dream that came true because God makes dreams come true. Amen. He can make your dream come true as well. And my daughter, my eldest daughter is Maria. She's at Wales, at a university in Wales. And my youngest daughter is 15 and she's called Rebecca. Maria and Rebecca. And they're beautiful, beautiful kids. I love them with all my heart. And I have a great church at home. They send the love. I'm sure they'd love to be here with me. Some of them are, actually. I've got Isaac and Ken and Sylvia, who comes from Palermo, Italy. That's another church that's related to us. And I'm just blessed to be here, so thank you so much. Just really quick, I want to tell you a little bit about this book. This book is about the journey that God has for each one of us when we become saved, and how he takes us into the blueprint that he has for our lives. It's his blueprint, but it's for our lives. And the way in which he wants us to take a journey with him where he grows us up internally. We are transformed and changed and become more and more like Jesus, because that's the whole process. That's really what life is all about. Becoming more and more like Jesus. You're still you, still uniquely you in every way. But you become more and more like him because the fruit of the Spirit flows through you. His love flows through you. You become transformed in your mind. And this book's all about that journey. So if you would like it, you'll be the first to get it in this region anyway. It'll be later in the shops next month, I believe, in the shops and on Amazon.co. So if you miss it, because there's only a few, I don't know how many we've got, but there's a few. And if you've got anyone that you really think needs to read a book that's going to stir them and challenge them, a good book for Christmas, buy it for your friends. Pass it on. It'll challenge them, provoke them, stir them. They might even be angry with me. You might even be angry with me, but I don't care. Because I love the word of the Lord and the way in which he changes us and makes us more like him. Amen? Amen. So get it. It looks good. Doesn't it look good? Huh? That's nice, isn't it? And it looks even better on the back. It's my picture there. No, please get a hold of it and enjoy it. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 to 21? I'm having a blast today because I'm just, every time I'm speaking, I'm just getting more and more filled and full of the Holy Ghost and enjoying it. And I'll be at the airport in another couple of hours flying back to UK. But I'll be all full up. Huh? That'll be nice. Praise the Lord. Acts 3, verse 19 to 21. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must restore until must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Wow. What a wonderful three verses. It says, first of all, repent, therefore. Repent. Repentance is the beginning of good news. Does anyone want good news? Does anyone want good things? Does anyone want God things to flow into their lives? Well, I do, for one. I'm sure you do. But he says, repent, therefore, and be converted, so that this refreshing can flow to you. Repentance, what really is repentance? Well, repentance is not just, it's not just saying sorry. It's good to say sorry, and sometimes we even find saying sorry difficult, don't we? Even to one another, we find it difficult to say sorry. But it's not just saying sorry. Repentance is the alternative, whatever you have been doing, and from whatever spirit you have been doing that, it's the alternative, it's the contrary spirit to that, and the contrary walk. You understand that? Because it's not just the things that you do. It's not just the things that you say, but it's where those doings and those things come from. And those things are coming from your soul, from your mind, from your motivations. So it's not just a matter of going, Lord, I'm sorry, but it's a matter of going, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And you're right. And the way that you have for me is the best way. It's the good way. It's the only way. And as you do that, as you come to him, so you're saying sorry, but you're also crying out for help to walk the alternative way, in the alternative spirit. So, of course, if you're miserable and you're grumpy and you're continually like that, well, that doesn't just show you that you're miserable and grumpy and spoiling everybody else's life. That shows you that internally there is a problem that you have. And wherever you go, that problem is coming out of your mouth. It's kind of spoiling your whole countenance. You understand me? It's more than just a thought. It's more than just an action. It's something deep inside you that's actually motivating you to be like that. So it's not enough to say sorry. It's then to say, Lord, I believe that as I come to you and say sorry, as I give these things over to you, you will supply what I need in order to walk a different way. To walk in the opposite spirit. Because the opposite spirit is the spirit who lives in you. Isn't it wonderful? If you're born again, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Huh? It is pretty neat. Just think about that. If I should kind of keel over and drop dead this morning, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in me will raise me up from the dead. Just right there and then. Just like a rocket going up into space. Huh? That's pretty neat, isn't it? That's the same spirit that lives in you if you believe in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, then you need to believe in him right now. Yeah. And can I say that as I'm speaking, if you don't believe in him, as I'm speaking, you can go, Jesus, I give you all my life. I give you everything. Come into my life and take over. And of course, when he does that, it's not like he comes and controls you and manipulates you. He comes in and he fills you. And he begins to speak to you. Show you where to walk, how to walk. He's wonderful. This is Jesus. He's wonderful. So he says, repent. Repent. And this word means, let me just take you to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if you've got... We're all getting lazy in the church these days, aren't we? Because we get the scriptures splashed up on the wall. So we don't need to bring the book anymore. Because it's too heavy. But it's nice to bring the book as well, huh? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul's talking about this thing called repentance. And he says in verse 9, he says, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us is nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So godly sorrow leads to repentance. So when you say sorry, that really, if it's godly sorrow, should lead you to repentance. You understand me? So it's not just about, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry again. No, godly sorrow leads you to repent. And repent is a lifestyle change. And when you say, Jesus, please help me. Please supply what is lacking in me. Empower me to do what is right. When you do that, the Holy Ghost comes along and he helps you to walk in the right way. Thus, you have life, salvation, sozo, life, power. Salvation is everything that you could possibly need for your life. So sorrow leads to repentance, leads to life. So that means that instead of misery, instead of depression, instead of those things that have oppressed you, you've now got life. Now that's a wonderful exchange, isn't it? Anyone want that exchange this morning? No, I mean it. If you want the exchange this morning, you can have the exchange. Because the Holy Ghost poured out on all flesh. Oh, he's here right now. He's working right now. Isn't it wonderful? So, you know what repentance is, because I just told you. You knew before, but I've reminded you what repentance is. Repentance is a lifestyle. So he says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Just think about this. Your sins and your sinful self, Jesus took upon himself. Your selfish self, Jesus took upon himself. If he didn't take your selfish self upon himself, then you're still in sin. You still got a problem. It ain't going to happen when you get to heaven. It's happened now already. He's dealt with your selfish self and all your sins, all your wrong actions, all the things that have spoiled your life. He took it upon himself, and it says he became sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I believe it is, says that he became sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. So in other words, he took all your sin. He went, come on, give me all the burdens, all the sins, all the actions, all the hurt, all the pain. Give me all. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take it all. You see, when you went through that thing that you went through and you went, where are you, God? God went, I'm right here. Because 2,000 years ago, my son went through all the pain, all the problem, all the difficulties on your behalf. He took it all on the cross, and all you have to do is say, Jesus, I see you have taken my pain. You've taken my sin. You've taken my hurt. And now I'm coming to you, and I'm giving you all this. I'm passing it all over to you because you've been there for me. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus says, come. Everyone who's weary and tired and burdened, come to me and I'll take it all. And in exchange, when I've taken all this and wiped it all out, I'm going to give you my righteousness so that you can come to heaven. Amen? Now that sounds like a good exchange to me. Look at someone next to you and say, that is a good exchange. Huh? That is one good exchange. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, come. Let's just read these verses again. Praise the Lord. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Well, do you know what happens the moment that you say yes to Jesus? In fact, before you even said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working on you. Because it's by his grace that you were saved. You understand me? So God, if you're feeling right now, oh, I've never felt like this before. What's going on? I feel like I want to know him. Guess who that is? That's God working on you right now. If you're being convicted of anything right now, it's God working on you. Because you don't have the ability to find God. God has the ability to find you. You understand me? So if you've got a little, I need to give this thing over. I need to give this thought over. I need to deal with this attitude. That's the Holy Ghost enlightening you right now. Isn't that wonderful? Whoa, I tell you. So when you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Ghost, you were sealed. Bang. Whoa. Holy Ghost is a woo. What was that that happened? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that you heard the word of truth and the Spirit of God came along and sealed you internally. That's wonderful, isn't it? Whoa. Praise the Lord. So right from that moment, the Holy Ghost is on the inside because you've been born again. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 and 27 says this. It says that God was going to do a new thing. So this is the Old Testament, and God speaks and he says, I'm going to do a new thing in the days to come when the new covenant comes along. And this is it. I'm going to take out the heart of stone. I'm going to go deep inside them and pluck out the heart of stone. Ooh, boom, phew, throws it away. And I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. And he puts this heart of flesh in, and he means a feeling heart. A heart that pulsates with his love. Huh? Really? God is love. So your heart begins to pulsate with his love. When I first got saved, I kept going up to people saying, I love you. I love you. They thought there was something wrong with me. I thought there was something wrong with me. I did. I was going up to everyone, workmates and people that I'd never seen, met them in the street. I just want to tell you I love you. I couldn't help myself. It was like the love of God just got a hold of me deep, deep down. And that love, which God pours out into our hearts, fills this new heart. So now it's pulsating with the love of God. Boom, 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 boom. And really inside, if you could see inside your own spiritual being, you'd see this heart just pumping away, full of the blood of Jesus, going, oh, don't they look good? Aren't they wonderful, these people? These are precious people, treasures to me. You understand me? Something gets a hold of you inside, and you begin to love. So a new heart. He recreates the old spirit that was dead in sins and transgressions. He recreates and makes it new, gives you a new heart, and then comes along and gives you the Holy Ghost as well. Woo! What a package that is. Huh? Did you ever get such a package as that anywhere other than with Jesus? Huh? No way. That is wonderful, isn't it? That's what he does the moment that you were saved. So the Holy Ghost on the inside now. And I want to show you these things because some people are in a wilderness. And sometimes the wilderness is a wilderness of your own making. You understand that? It's not God's fault. You know, when you go in the wilderness and God's in you and you go in, because there are moments we go in the wilderness with God, but Jesus went in full of the Holy Ghost and came out full of the Holy Ghost. If you're in a wilderness and going, my life sucks, it stinks. You got your head down and everything's black and not good. Everything's dirty around you. When you feel that, that's a wilderness. That's a wilderness. And that's not a wilderness of God's making. That's a wilderness of your own making. Through your choices and decisions. Through you not taking responsibility for your life according to his word and his spirit. But of course, in this day and age, we don't like hearing those things because someone else is responsible for my pain. No. Lots of the time, you're responsible for your pain. You're responsible for your choices. And your decisions, it's not God's fault and it's not your neighbor's fault. Actually, it could be your fault. But you see, when you repent and you have this lifestyle of repentance, every day coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I see that I'm not like you. I want to be like you more and more. But in that instance, I was not like you. Please forgive me. Help me, Father. Fill me anew. Help me to be like you. You see? So we repent, we are converted, our sins are blotted out, and then he says, times of refreshing come. And these times of refreshing come from inside. Listen to me. When you were saved, it was an internal operation that God did. The Holy Ghost on the inside. The new heart's inside us. The love of God is inside us. Now all we have to do is work out how to release the Holy Ghost. You see, many of us are waiting for God to do something. Waiting. God, it's you that's going to do it. And God's going, no, I've done everything. It's all finished. It's all accomplished. And now I'm waiting for you to make the right choices, the right decisions, do the things that I'm asking you to do, and I will come along and empower you with the Holy Ghost in a way that you've never known before. But you see, times of refreshing begin to flow from... You remember what Jesus said to the lady at the well? He said, if you knew who you were talking to at this well, because you're thirsty, you want natural water to drink because it quenches your thirst. If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask him and he'd give you living water. Water that continues to eternal life. And then a little bit later, he says this in John 7. Let's just have a quick look there. Praise the Lord. Is everyone all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 7 says in verse 37, on the last day on the great of the great that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, listen, as the scripture has said, Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Where does it flow from? Where? Out of whose heart? Your heart, my heart, flows out of us. You understand me? This river of God that flows, that we see a picture of in the Bible that's flowing, this crystal clear, translucent life that flows from God, is actually the Holy Ghost. And when you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Ghost immediately comes on the inside of you and fills your heart so that it's like a river on the inside. Not just a little dribble, not just a stream, but a river. And actually, Jesus says in chapter 4, he says it's going to be like a fountain. Well, can you imagine, as we begin to believe what the Lord says he's done on the inside of us, as we begin to come and say, thank you, Jesus, that on the inside, I am a new man, a new woman. I can't say a new woman because I'm a new man. A new man or a new woman, on the inside, the Holy Ghost comes along and begins to pour forth. First a stream, then a river, and then a fountain. And as we all begin to do that, fountains everywhere. Can you imagine? If you could see, honestly, I'm always saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to see spiritually what's going on with people's hearts, in their lives. And I can see often as fountains begin to flow out. Fountains. Our worshippers today, you know, you can just see them, can't you? Fountains beginning to flow out. Streams of living water. Well, as we all do that, the presence of the Lord is glorified and magnified along us, amongst us. Beautiful, huh? Hallelujah. I'm excited as well. Praise the Lord. I like that. You just do that. I want to tell you, when you go to Africa and other places like that, India and Africa, you know, they're all sat in the... They're not sat like you're sat. Because like this volcano on the inside of them is going, yeah, yeah, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the feet begin to go like this. You know, have you ever had that feeling when your foot's... Oh, hallelujah. You know, and you just want to get on a chair or you want to do something. But everything in you says, no, no, we're at church. We're at church. Huh? I want to tell you, you got to let that out. That's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You got to let him out. Huh? Oh, yeah. Let him out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, some of you will actually sit there and you'll go, I'm not going to do that. But you're the very person that needs to do it. You understand me? If you're sat there going, I'm not going to do that. I want to tell you the Holy Ghost knocking on your door right now. You need to do that to burst out, to let that life burst out, get through and touch someone, huh? Didn't you ever just want to, you see, it's like at Christmas, you know, we love to give presents. I want to live like that all year, me. I want to live like that all year. I want to give things to people and just bless them and say how wonderful they look and how a treasure they are. You know, but a lot of the time we just sit there and, oh, no, better not do that. You know, I better not go and tell that person over there that Jesus loves them and that I just think they're wonderful. No, I'll sit down and be quiet. All right, well, you missed a moment. You missed a moment, huh? I want to tell you, you just want to go with the flow. Huh? Just say this, go with the flow. Praise the Lord. Oops. So, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us, and he brings refreshing to us. All the time, just through us, in us. But we've got to begin to believe this. Because you see, as I go around, this is what I see, that really, on the one hand, we do believe it, but we don't really believe it because we're still expecting God to do something that's beyond what he's already done. But actually, if we will do what we're meant to do and release those rivers of water and that fountain of life, begin to release it more and more amongst us, then we'll find that God does some extraordinary things with us. Huh? Extraordinary things. Astonishing things. And I don't know about you, but I want to see some astonishing things. Oh, you know that picture? I keep getting that picture. I don't know if there's someone in here that has thought about committing suicide. But I keep getting this picture, and it's like a rushing wave up to that bridge, and just hot light. And the Lord says, I'm going to arrest them. I'm going to arrest them by my spirit so that they don't do it. So I don't know what goes on that bridge, but I imagine that it's probably used for that kind of thing. But I felt like the Lord said, I'm going to arrest them. But maybe in here today, there's someone that's going inside and they told no one. I'm going to commit suicide. If that's you, I want you to come and see me after this, right after this word. Okay, I want you to come and see me down there after this word. And you're going to be released and set free today, if that's you. Because that picture keeps coming. Even as I'm standing here, I can see it. I don't know if you've seen this film called The Silver Surfer. Have you seen that? And he surfs on this wave. It's a great film. You want to see it? Woo. Great film. But he surfs on this wave, and I keep seeing this wave. And it's like going right up to that bridge. And it's like, even if they want to jump, they can't jump. But he's going to make this house like that. Huh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You get people coming in the doors that were going to commit suicide, and they're giving their lives to the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I suppose in one way, everybody who doesn't know the Lord's committed suicide. Really? Everybody who doesn't know the Lord's committing suicide. Because you know what it says about the last day? It says that everyone shall die and be raised up. Every man, woman, child is going to die and be raised up and be held accountable before the Lord. It's not a fantasy, it's God's word. So don't you commit suicide. Come with the Lord, come and know him. So he says, therefore, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. So they've had Jesus being preached to them, and Jesus, of course, came, was born as a baby, lived as a man, died on the cross, rose again from the dead. But Peter's saying, actually, Jesus, this same one that's been sent once, is going to be sent again. He's going to come again. And when he comes again, he's going to rule and reign upon the earth. Jesus is going to rule and reign upon the earth over everything. And not just the earth, everything in heaven, everything on earth, the whole universe, Jesus is going to rule over it magnificently. Because he's a magnificent ruler. Huh? Oh, I can't wait for that day. I'm going to be reporting for duty. Huh? Woo! I can't wait. In the meantime, though, you know that Jesus is making visitations to the earth. Maybe Jesus will visit this house in a special way. Maybe he'll come and stand here. You know, sometimes I believe that there's angels in the house of God recording who's in the house. Recording who are the faithful ones. Honestly, I believe angels stand here and write it down and go, okay, Fred came this morning. Harry's here. Huh? I believe that something like that happens in many houses. Maybe all houses that say they belong to the Lord. But one day Jesus is going to come again. In the meantime, Jesus is going to make appearances upon the earth. How do I know this? I want you just to go to Matthew. I didn't give it that much time this morning when I talked about this, but I'm going to talk about it here. It says here, Matthew 16 and verse 24. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, no, no. It's not that again, is it? Deny himself. I want to tell you this. This is good news, believe me. When Jesus says that he wants you to deny himself, to deny yourself, it means this. It means he wants you to stop doing the things that are killing you. Well, let me say it again. There's things that you and I do that if we carried on doing them, they'd kill us. So Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself of those things that are slowly killing you and taking away your life, even though you don't know it. You understand me? Jesus doesn't want you to deny yourself of life. He wants you to have a wonderful life. He wants your life to be filled with blessings, filled with good things, filled with everything good. Good gifts, that's what he wants for you. But he wants you to deny yourself of everything that is stealing away your life. And when you do that and apply it to the cross every day, so Lord, I'm sorry, what we've been talking about, lifestyle of repentance, when you do that every day, then you're denying yourself and you're following after Jesus. So he's talking to all his disciples, and then he says this. He says, For what profit is it if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder what we give in exchange for our soul. Some people will give a job. Some people will give money in exchange for that. Some people will give clothes in exchange for the soul. You understand me? Some people give food in exchange for the soul. They give these things all the time in exchange for their own souls. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Follow me. And then he says, for the Son of Man, and it's strange, so he's talking about denial, and then he says, for the Son of Man will come in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So he's talking about the second coming. And then he said, assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So he says to his disciples, you're going to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You're going to see glory. You're going to see something before you die. And then it goes on and he says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah stood with him and talked together with him. That was pretty phenomenal, wasn't it? And he just said 6 days earlier, he'd said, if you hang around long enough, guys, you're going to see me. The Son of Man in all his glory, you're going to see it. I'm going to visit. And Jesus is transfigured right there on the earth. His face shining with glory. His whole countenance changed. You know, like it says in Revelation, it says his face shone like the sun shining in all its glory. And he stood before him transfigured. And there's Elijah and Moses there. Isn't that wonderful? You see, they didn't die. Isn't it great that? They didn't die. Because God's the God of the living, not of the dead. You never die. You understand me? You're never, ever, ever going to die. Whoa! No, honestly, you're not going to die. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Don't you think that's a little bit exciting? Jesus said, anyone that believes in me, even though they die, they'll never die. They'll live forever. Woo! I like that. Huh? Just really what happens is once that you believe in Jesus, it's as though you died when Jesus died on the cross. So you'll never die. You're going to be shocked. Some of you are going to be shocked. Because you know that day when you actually keel over and fall down on the floor, you're going to think, I should be dead. I really should be dead right now. But I'm more alive than I've ever been before. Whoa, that's going to be neat. And then you're going to feel that power. Just as the same spirit that lives in Jesus and raised him from the dead raises you from the dead. Isn't it wonderful that? You're never going to die again. And we need to start believing it, don't we? Like really believing it. I mean, like we really believe it. Not like it's some churchy thing. But like we really believe it. So that when we go to a funeral and someone's died and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that actually they were raised up in power with Jesus and they're living today. Huh? Oh, Jesus. But you see, I'm sure that Jesus, just like he did with Peter. And let's just have a little look at this. 2 Peter, are we okay? We're okay. 2 Peter. And let's just have a look at this. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And Peter's talking about this experience that he's had with Jesus. And he said, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But you see what he's saying? He's saying, we didn't follow any tales. Jesus, we saw his glory and his majesty before us. And we heard the Father's voice. I didn't read that bit to you in the scripture, but they heard the Father's voice. So Jesus appeared on the earth in his glory. And I believe that Jesus is going to come again and again and again. and visit us in these times. He'll actually stand amongst us and we'll witness his glory and his power. We'll see something more than we've ever experienced before. But before that can happen, there must be houses where repentance is a lifestyle, where we understand that refreshing has begun to flow from us in our hearts, and where we're enjoying the presence of God together. There must be households like this everywhere, raised up, real, true households, full of the Holy Ghost. So let's just finish off. He says about the restoration of all things, if you put that verse up there from Acts 3 again. He says that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Isn't this wonderful? Jesus is going to restore all things. Everything. Everything that has been ruined. Everything that's been in chaos. Everything that has been damaged and hurt. Jesus is going to restore it all. Everything. It's all going to be restored. In fact, he's going to restore this earth to such a place that we don't recognize it anymore, because everything is going to be repaired. Everything's going to be renewed. Everything. I want to tell you, sometimes I've walked down a canal near our house and the river, and I felt like that the flowers were going to start singing. No, honestly, I felt it. I felt like they're going to start singing and like the trees are going to come alive. Does anyone get any of that stuff? Is it just me? Am I off my rocker? I don't know. But I tell you, I can feel them like they're wanting to just go, yeah! Huh? No, honestly. It says all the earth's waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. You understand me? When you become a son of God, and everyone is a son of God by faith, but actually when you begin to walk in sonship, it's like everything around you begins to move. The whole environment's affected. The weather changes. Volcanoes go off. No, honestly, I've seen this. I mean it, I've seen this. I have seen it. I have seen it. Volcanoes go off. All sorts of things happen when the word of the Lord goes forth and is revealed through the sons of God. Now, don't you want to live a life like that? You see, that's the kind of life we're talking about. We're not talking just about a church thing, you know, on Sunday. Oh, we go to church on Sunday and we have a nice time. And then we go on Wednesday and we have another nice time. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about somehow God gets a hold of you and gets inside you and begins to restore you and repair you and renew you and reform you inside. Ooh, that's what church is all about. Amen? That's what he's doing right now. Some of you just know it. You're going, ooh, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh. Ooh. No, that's what some of you feel like inside, don't you? You wouldn't tell anyone, though, because this is church. We have to behave ourselves. No, we don't. Honestly, we just need to let it go. We need to help ourselves in this life that he's given us. He's given us salvation, and now salvation has to work out of us. You see, he wants to restore all things. But the most important thing that he wants to restore is you. He loves you, and he wants to restore you. And he starts this very day. I know for some of you, he started many days ago. But for some of you, he's going to start today, because today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Don't wait any longer. Come to Jesus today and say, Jesus, I was wrong and you were right. I repent. I'm sorry. Fill me, Lord. Give me a whole new life and fill me with your spirit so that I become like a fountain. And say, I want to live like he just said. I want to live like that. I want to do some adventures and some exploits. I want to go some places that I never dreamt I'd go, but I'm going. Do you understand me? Above and beyond anything that you ever thought, that's possible with Jesus. And the message today is this, that Jesus loves you. He wants repentance and he wants it to be a lifestyle. He's blotted out your sins, he's taken them away. You can be free, completely free. And times of refreshing will flow from you. And as that happens, he will fill this house and begin to restore you, all your soul, your mind, all the places that have been hurt and damaged and ruined. The Spirit of the Lord is going to build you up inside and begin to repair you and restore you. Your mind's going to be changed. You're going to think in a new way. There's going to be renewal in your mind. You're going to be transformed so that you can be the person that you always knew you could be. But thus far, you're not it. You understand me? Because Jesus comes along and he says, you're going to become this person. You are the person that God intended you to be right now, but that person is spoiled by sin. It's spoiled by all sorts of things in the environment. You know you were destined for something more than what you presently have. And the more, when you give your life to Jesus, he's on the inside of you. And he begins to change you and restore you so that you might be in his image, full of his life, doing exploits for his glory. Now that sounds pretty good to me. And I preached it, but I enjoyed it. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Do you want to stand on your feet for a moment? Let's stand on your feet. And let's just lift our hands to the Lord. And say these things after me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for me. I thank you, Jesus, that you have blotted out my sin forever. And that times of refreshing will flow from my inner man. Like a fountain. Like a river. Flowing out of me right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you will restore all things that have been ruined. And you will start with me. Right now, Lord. I say yes. And amen. Amen. Glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Please be seated for a moment. In a minute, we're going to move into ministry for those that are believing God to have things restored. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's your ministry. And you know, something God put in my spirit about coming here, that we would be a help to those whose ministries have been hindered. And that you'd be able to continue on, and we'll help you do that. So maybe there's that need in your life as well. But we'd like to receive a love gift offering for Pastor Paul. And so at this time, if you would kindly prepare what the Holy Spirit would put on your heart to give to him, to be a blessing to his ministry and to his life, I think that would be appropriate. So envelopes are there before you, and our ushers are going to serve us again and help us to receive this love gift. And then we're going to move right in to ministry. Of course, we'll dismiss you in just a moment and recognize that everybody has schedules, but let's try to do this first, if we may. Make your check out to CNC. All of it will be put together, and the entirety of that amount will be given to him, okay? So we appreciate your generosity toward Pastor Paul Hubbard today. Thank you for the word, Lord, the word of the Lord today, and how you have ministered so unselfishly, really. So let's just receive it now, shall we? Father, thank you for the offerings that we can receive from God's people. Thank you, Lord, for the love that's translated through these gifts. May they be an encouragement to our friend in ministry. Cover him, strengthen him, and protect him, we ask in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and receive that offering. I want to remind you of a couple things. The book is available. We have a limited number of them, but they're available out there. He starts in a blueprint with a convert, servant to son. And you really want to see the progression of thought that this book lays out. I think it'll be a great help to you, and looking forward to hearing the reports as you read it. If our altar ministers have given already, would you come and stand across the front of this room, please? As we prepare ourselves to minister to God's people. How many know the Holy Spirit has been present to minister to us today? Do you know that? Yeah, I do too. I want to remind you, Wednesday night, there is no midweek service this week in observance of Thanksgiving. So we'll see you on next Sunday. But as the altar ministers give, please make your way up to the front. And we want to prepare to minister to you. So today you say, God, can you really restore the broken place in my life? Can you really heal all the hurt that I've endured my whole life? If you can, then I want that restoration. I want that healing. So as you feel prompted of the Lord and you would like prayer, we'd like to pray for you. So please come from where you're sitting. Come to the front. Join with one of these that are stationed here to minister to you. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is here to bring renewal and restoration to each of our lives. Don't you feel that? I feel that as well. After you've given, please stand to your feet. Come, Jesus. Jesus, come to us right now. Would you lift a hand up and worship? Would you just lift a hand and worship? Tell him yourself, come Lord Jesus, fully in my life. Lift up your voice and say, come Lord Jesus. If you at all have felt that propensity towards suicide, quickly come and make your way up here. Pastor Paul wants to minister to you a word. He wants to do that quickly because he has to leave for the airport. His plane leaves in about an hour and a half. So please come right up here to the corner. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
We worship you. We worship you. Jesus, I'm going to ask you, church, please, in the next 60 seconds, reach a hand out to these that are coming across the front. Lord, I pray for restoration. We pray, God, for renewal, that you would hurt all the hurt, God, that they have experienced, that you would heal the hurt, that you would renew, Lord God, where there's been broken places. Lord, that you would touch in those places, oh God, that have become very tender in their life. We reach out our hands in faith and we say, Lord, love, let the love of God touch, restore, and heal, and renew. We love you, Lord. Come on, one more time, sing, Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, come on. Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
We want you here right now. We need you.
Holy Spirit, come.
We want to release you to this afternoon. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the ministry today. We want you to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Remember, we love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Stop at the cafe for a dessert and some fellowship. You want to look around at the building, tour the facility. It's great to have you. We continue to minister as the Lord leads. God bless you today.